And on this scene, out of the clear blue, we had never been introduced to Elijah before. We never heard anything about him. All of a sudden, he appears on the scene. He confronts wicked King Ahab, and he says, "As the Lord God lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain the next few years until I come back and give you a changed message." Elijah was so like the meaning of his name, Jehovah is my strength. America, the world we live in, the land we live in, is much like that kind of crisis. We're in a spiritual crisis. Christianity declining. 70% to 80% of the churches in America have either plateaued or they are declining. Most of the growth in our churches today is not conversion growth, it's transfer growth, people going from one church to another. And the largest group, religious or non-religious group, are the nuns, N-O-N-E, people who have no affiliation with any kind of religious or church group whatsoever. They are aligned with the atheists. Atheists is the largest group, the fastest growing religion, so to speak, in America today. It seems like we're in a cultural, moral, spiritual freefall in America. We're in a government crisis, facing at the very least, an impeachment inquiry of our president. We have a polarization of our government like never before, and a potential downturn, as the prognosticators tell us, of our economy, much like it was 10 or so years ago. So what's the believer's attitude in a time like this? What do we do? During these times, during difficult times, how should we face our world? How should we face our circumstances? Many believers, when times go bad like this, they suffer from anxiety. They are affected by their fears. Many want to help the Lord by making sure the Lord's church does not attempt anything unless we have the funds and the wherewithal to do it. Let us operate absolutely by sight. They want to trust God for great things when life is great, but not during difficult times. So there's two things I want to talk about, because there's application in this story to every one of us. Number one, and there was a drought going on in the land now for a few years, no rain, no dew, no moisture, nothing. The whole land was drying up. And there's a spiritual aspect of that, because into the life of every believer, there comes times of drought. Into the life of every one of us, there occurs down times. We have difficult times where everything seems to be drying up. Let me say a few things about that. First of all, God designs the particulars of our circumstances. God's the one who has designed your circumstances as they are. The particular situation that you find yourself in, God has designed that. And only a sovereign God, ladies and gentlemen, would bring a trial. Only a sovereign God who's in charge of everything would bring troubles into the lives of his people. In this case, it was judgment on Israel and Ahab and Jezebel. But it was also a time for instruction for Elijah in his faith in God. He was a man, James tells us, that was of like passions as we are. Yet he stood alone. We'll see it later in this story that he stood alone against the 450 prophets of Baal, called fire down from heaven, and turned a nation, an apostate nation, back to God as national revival broke out. As God used this man to do it. It was his faith in God that made him all that he became. And I would tell you today, faith will do as much for you and me as we exercise it like he did. Power with God is given according to the measure of our receptivity and our faith, as we read in 2 Corinthians 9 a few moments ago. God blesses according to our generosity, according to our faith. It enables us to do mighty exploits for God as it did for Elijah. However, before this can happen, before we can develop that kind of faith, we must first pass through the same education as Elijah. I dare say today that none of us would get up tomorrow morning and say, "God, send me down a whole lot of problems so that you can stretch my faith. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to go through difficult times. We all like the easy road, don't we? And a church, you're not going to get up in your next business meeting and say, let's vote and let's ask God to send all kinds of troubles down to this church so we can grow in our faith. No, we're not going to do that. We're too human to do that. But our purpose, we must understand, when problems come, it always has a purpose. And the purpose is not always clearly seen. We can't always see what God is doing in our lives and what the road is down the road, what the result is down the road. But only a sovereign God would bring a trial, and only a sovereign God who's in total control could fit all the pieces together to make lemonade out of a lemon. So God determines the particulars of our circumstances, but he also determines the purpose of our circumstances. Why is what happening to you happening? Why are you going through some of the tests and challenges and difficulties right now? It's all about stewardship. As God develops our faith, as he develops our trust, as he develops our character for him, times of drought and famine are inevitable in every person's life, and they are as essential as the times of blessing. Read a story just not too long, an article not too long ago about the great teams of sports. They learn so much more by their terrible defeats than they really do from all their victories. And I would say that about our lives. I have learned many more things about those terrible times, the defeats, than I do many times when I'm on the mountain. Now, that doesn't mean we want to experience those things. I never want to experience them again, but I'm glad I have when I get on the other side of it, because I see what God has done. We've had times of drought as individuals. This church has had times of drought as a church. Times of great financial trial, times of great leadership trial. And here we see that in this nation, there is no apparent solution. It looked like all hope was gone. And sometimes that's what we think in our own situations. There is no solution. But those who do not go through those trials, those who run from the trials, those who just gripe and complain and worry, they miss some very, very important learning experiences. The only way you can learn them is by going through the trials, going through the difficulties, and letting God see you through it. So into every life of every believer, there are times of drought. There are times of famine. There are times of difficulty. But secondly, God supplies our needs through the drought. He will supply our needs. First of all, God supplies beside the drying brook. God's servants, first of all, must learn to take one step at a time. When we go through these difficult times, actually when we go through any time, we're to learn to take one step at a time. Elijah was commanded, you go to Ahab, you give him my proclamation of no rain until we change the script. No rain. So go to Ahab. And he makes this big proclamation, and you think, well, in our economy, we would think he would just keep going higher and higher and more powerful, more successful. But God says, now, I want you to leave there, turn eastward, and go to the little obscure brook of Cherith, in the Cherith Ravine, where nobody sees you, where nobody knows you, where you can hide because Ahab would be coming after you. Ultimately, he would go to a place named Zarephath, which God would further refine him before he ever got to the place where he would call the fire down from heaven. But he wasn't told to go there until it was time. See, God's on a timeline with all of us. He didn't have to search for God's word. It came to him. You see, in verse 2 of this passage, the word of God came to Elijah. You see, if you're walking with God, if you have a relationship with God, you don't have to go searching through and worrying about what to do. God's word comes to you. because you're so much in the Word. You're immersed in His Word. And God is speaking to you through His Word. That's what happened to Elijah. The Word of God came to him. The strength, ladies and gentlemen, is given according to the moment's need. God doesn't give us all of His direction at one time, lest we couldn't take it. He's not going to tell you, well, let me tell you what the next 10 years is going to be like. Step by step. We couldn't handle it. Our brains would explode. We'd be so overwhelmed. So God gives it to us step after step. God's not even going to tell us what's going to happen in the next 6 months, folks. We got to walk day by day by day by day, trusting Him, you see. He tells us and He shows us, He reveals to us just as much as we can remember and do. Then we must look to Him for more. So we must learn to take, in stewardship, we must learn to take one step at a time. Giving our lives to God, giving our resources to God, one step at a time. Secondly, God's servants must be taught the value of the hidden life. He tells in verse 3 of this passage, go hide in the Cherith ravine. The man, the woman who is to take a high place before man, who's going to be promoted, who's going to be successful, must take a low place before God. That hidden life, that time alone with God, that time where you're communing with God in His Word, in prayer. You just don't become good stewards by just saying, okay, this is what we got to. It's not about budgets. It's not about programs. It's not about activities. It's about God. When you give, when you're a steward of God, you give to the church, yes, but you give through the church to God. That's God's agency for giving to Him. It's all about giving to Him. And so there's no better way to do this, to learn this principle, than by removing us from the place where we feel important. Elijah was removed from the mainstream of life so he could be part, so he could realize, be taught that he's not necessary to God's plan. And you see, every one of us need to know that. God doesn't need me. I need God desperately. God doesn't depend upon what I bring to the table, what you bring to the table to get His work done. God doesn't need us. We absolutely need Him. And so God will not use us, cannot use us, if we think that we're indispensable to God. Not all about us. It's all about Him. Every person who desires greater power must win it in some hidden Cherith like Elijah, spending that time alone with God. Every church must go through those difficult times so that it can learn the lessons that God wants it to learn. A Mount Carmel triumph where God pours the fire down upon His enemies and breaks out in revival. That kind of triumph always follows a Cherith, where you time where you're focused on God, giving your life to God. And a Cherith always leads to a Carmel. You see, the acquisition of spiritual power is impossible unless we can hide ourselves from others in a place where we may observe the absolute eternal power from the absolute eternal God. Martin Luther one time said, the great Reformationist, he said, I've got so much to do today that I need to spend at least 3 hours in prayer with God. Bishop Andrews used to spend 5 hours a day in prayer. John Welsh, 8 to 10 hours a day in prayer. These were men that had great power with God. Christmas Evans spent time in the hills of Wales, David Brainerd in the woods of North America, to get alone so they could focus on God. So God's servants must learn how to hide away, to get with God and build that personal relationship with Him. Thirdly, God's servants must learn to trust God absolutely. God's word was contrary to His nature. He says, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and I'm going to feed you bread and meat in the morning, brought to you by the ravens. Now, the ravens were flesh-eating birds. God wouldn't let them eat the flesh and the bread. He had those. Now, it doesn't make sense how God, why God would do that. And God's word many times doesn't make sense to us. But he said, I'm going to bring you, I'm going to feed you. You stay there at the brook chair. You can drink from the brook, and then I will feed you by the birds, flesh and bread. So wasn't logical, but it was clear and it was unmistakable. So Elijah did what we should all do. He obeyed God. When we find God is true to his word, that's when our faith grows. And that's when we can rise to the spiritual heights. Elijah, like most of us, may have preferred to be somewhere else, but the Bible tells us that God bless you. I've ordered the ravens to feed you there. God didn't bless him in Jerusalem. God didn't bless him someplace. He blessed him there. God will only provide when we get there, when we are the place that God wants us to be. Elijah was in God's will there. And it's our goal as stewards to find out, where does God want us to be? What does he want us to do? That's when he can bless us and where he will bless us. And God's servants are often called, fourthly, to sit by drying brooks. I think it's interesting, it says here that he went there and the brook finally dried up. You ever been in a place in your life when it seems the brook dried up? In your church life, your spiritual life, the brook dried up. And you're going to the brook every day and nothing. It just gets worse. Can you imagine Elijah? Every morning he woke up and the brook just kept drying up. The water kept going further and further inward. And he had to walk further and further into the brook to get his water. And, you know, I'm sure he thought, what am I going to do when this whole brook dries up? And sometimes we think down the road, what's going to happen to me if such and such and such happens, and the brook keeps drying up? Sometimes we think that about stewardship. How can I keep giving to God? How can I keep obeying God when everything seems to be drying up? Things got worse and worse for Elijah. Things may get worse and worse for you until the brook finally dried up. It can be difficult, can it not, to sit by a drying brook? Everything seems to be in reverse. Why does God let the brooks dry? Why does he allow things in our lives to dry? Well, it may be that he wants to trust us, wants to teach us to trust in him rather than our gifts and blessings. Maybe he wants to detach us from self-confidence and self-centeredness. Maybe he wants to loosen our hearts, our roots from this world. Maybe he wants to get our focus off the horizontal and put it on the vertical. Maybe he brings that in so that we'll look to him and know that all sufficiency resides in him. God is sufficient for anything you and I need. And so he supplies at the drying brook. He also supplied here for Elijah in Zarephath. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but let me just say four or five things. God's keenly aware of our minute daily needs. There's nothing that you're going through that God doesn't understand. He's so concerned about us, he numbers the hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. Not one thing that he does not know. He's aware of our needs. He acts precisely as the need arises. He sends him to Zarephath. This woman is picking up sticks. She has just enough flour, just enough oil to make a little bit of bread, and her son are going to just lay down and die. That's their last meal. God supplied his need from that unexpected source. Here's a widow woman who had nothing to give him, but God was about to supply a miracle from her. And it took great faith and the watch care of God for the prophet to accept the gift. He said, okay. She says, we're about to prepare this last meal. We're going to die. I can't feed you. He says, yeah, I understand that, but you go. I know that's all you got, but you take that meal. You take that flour. You take that oil. Make me some bread. And bring me something to drink. Feed me first, and then you feed yourself, and you'll never, never run out. The giver, if you read the story, and we'll talk about it a little bit more next week, she never suffered because God was true to his word. And that's what stewardship's all about. trusting what God says, believing God is greater than our circumstances, believing that when we obey God, when we give God, God is able to make 2 + 2 = 6 or 8 or 1,000, if it's in his will. You see, God sometimes allows us, in this whole concept of stewardship, to go through periods of drought. But he gives to us even in the midst of down times. The whole world can fall apart around us, but God is always faithful. Let us learn the lessons today that he's teaching us. Let us give generously so that God can bless us generously. Let us not be stingy with God. Let us be cheerful givers. Let us be purposeful in our giving. And let us see how God abundantly blesses us because his word is always true. You see, if God owns all, if he is sovereign, can't he redirect that belongs to him back to his servant, however he wants to do it? How do you respond to a drought in your life? What do you do when things go bad? What do you do when everything just seems to be falling apart? Well, the book of James tells us, and Marie read it a few minutes ago, first 5 verses of James chapter 1, 4 things that you do when things just aren't working. First of all, in verse 2 of that chapter, he says, rejoice. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse troubles. When everything seems to go upside down, he says, rejoice. Sounds crazy. It's not human. It's supernatural. Rejoice. Secondly, understand that God is trying your faith. God doesn't send problems to punish us. He tells us there that the trying of your faith brings patience or perseverance. When our faith is tried, God is developing our endurance, our perseverance. So understand that he's trying your faith to grow you. Thirdly, let God work in your life. Let patience, let perseverance have its perfect work so that you might be mature and complete, wanting nothing. God does that so we can grow and mature in our faith, so God can work in our lives, so the focus will not be on our circumstances, but on him. And lastly, ask God for understanding. He says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it will be given to you. God is wisdom personified. Anything you need, any decision we need to make, God has the wisdom to give us so that we can make the decisions that he would have us to make. To be good stewards, taking what he gives us and putting it out there to use for his glory, for his honor. Bow your heads with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just for a moment, I'm going to lead you in prayer. But today, let God speak to you. What will you do with what you've heard? God wants you to be a good steward. And next week, we'll be making some decisions. Throughout this week, we'll bring those pledge cards next week. And I hope you'll seek God and see what God wants you. And you'll trust God to do something far beyond what you've ever done before. Today, if you do not know and do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning, realize that he wants your life. He came and gave his life for you. He wants you to come to him. He wants to save you, give you a life in eternity in heaven with him forever. See one of the prayer workers right after service. They'll talk to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you do not know. They'll pray with you about any other need that you might have. So we give those things to God. Father, we thank you. You are awesome. You are great. You are the God of all, source of all. Help us this morning not be fearful of our circumstances and not do things for the wrong reasons, but to give to you, make you first in our lives, give to you in our times of drought and even in our successful times, that you might get all the glory and honor in Jesus' name.